Welcome to The Dildorks, dorky discourse on sex, dating, and masturbating. My name is Kate Sloan. I'm a sex journalist, a sex blogger. I'm very sick right now, so I'm sorry about my voice, but I have a fantasy about being wrapped in Christmas lights and my partner coming home to find me all wrapped up like a Christmas present and unwrapping me and then fucking me in a very festive manner. Who are you, friend?
I never knew that about you.
I wouldn't say it's high on my list of priorities, but it is there.
Okay. I've always had a thing for, like, the, oh, it's cold, better cuddle under a million blankets to keep warm and also maybe bone.
Oh, totally. You know, yeah. What's fun that I was doing recently is I have really bad circulation and I'm seeing someone now who has a bit of a foot kink. So I was like, my feet are cold. You should put them in your mouth. So fun. So good. Who are you, friend?
I'm Bex. I'm a sex educator and a sex blogger. And I am not excited to go home for the holidays.
Oh, no. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Sigh. But, like, I am excited about Christmas, and I love Christmas, and working retail kind of ruined that for me for a little while, but my excitement is back this year, and I am, like, super hype.
Are they just, like, constantly playing Christmas music at your job right now?
Yeah, because I control the radio.
Oh, okay. So are you playing good Christmas music?
We've been listening to Lindsey Stirling's new Christmas album.
Okay. I don't know who that is.
She plays electric violin and does, like, contemporary dubstep violin music.
Oh my god.
It's really cool. Yeah, it's really, really good. You've heard her before. I've played her stuff, but yeah.
Okay.
So she has a whole Christmas album that we've been listening to, so I've been, like, doing a lot of that and a lot of ELO.
Yellow.
ELO. Electric Light Orchestra.
Oh. I'm sorry, we are not on the same wavelength when it comes to music.
It's all Christmas rock music.
Okay, wonderful. I'm just all about that Charlie Brown Christmas album. That's my shit.
You would be.
It's so good. The vinyl is bright green. It's real pretty. This is not a music nerd podcast, though.
There's also a song that Patent Pending did that's called She's a Ho 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 Merry Christmas. That's slightly slut-shamey, but mostly just about some girl fucking Santa, and it has some really great, like, lines in it that are hilarious.
My
including,
favorite...
No, I don't think that's what mistletoe is for.
Like missile blow, am I right? My favorite Christmas song from, like, a sex and gender nerd perspective is Michael Bublé doing his take on Santa Baby, which he sings as Santa Buddy, and it's, like, this real, like, no-homo, like, slightly toxic masculinity take on it. But it's weird because, like, the whole premise of that song is that the original singer is, like, flirting with Santa to get what she wants, and so, like, him doing it, he's, like, not flirting with Santa but still demanding all these expensive things. It's like, what are you doing, Bublé? Do you have
he's like Santa my
daddy?
bro I need a motorcycle, but, like, you can't ride on the back, okay? Bro, dude, man, dude,
you can ride,
get me tools. And footballs.
I think one of the things is a yacht, which, like, nobody should ever buy you a yacht. Like,
no.
That's too much for anybody, even Santa. I'm sorry.
And I don't even want to have to maintain a yacht or care for it. Like, that's the kind of present that is just a chore. Like, don't give me presents that are more work for me.
It's a yacht obligation. I just made two different yacht puns in the span of, like,
and
five
I chose
seconds.
To ignore both of them.
Oh, they were yacht very good.
Aww.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Friend. Thanks.
Yes.
Tell me about some of your holiday traditions. I'm always curious in hearing about other people's take on these, because I feel like it's so different from family to family.
So, like, the biggest thing that we did for... that on my dad's side of the family, we're very Italian, so Christmas Eve is very important. And we always celebrate on Christmas Eve instead of Christmas Day. Mm-hmm. So we go out to Jersey to see the Italian side of my family, because that's where the Italians live. and we do the big, like, Feast of the Seven Fishes, and which I don't even like seafood, so I eat seven different goldfish, and call it
the
a
cracker?
Day. Yes, and then have stuffed shells, if they remember to bring them.
Oh my god.
Otherwise, babe. I just have, like, penne alla vodka or something.
Okay.
Which I think they put seafood in the sauce, but it's the only thing that I can kind of get away with. I don't know, it's some Jesus tradition. For some reason, we have seven different fish, so every meal has a different fish in it.
As long as you don't see the seafood, it's all good. That sounded more like a pun in my head, but when I said it out loud, it was really just a sentence that is true.
Yeah, it's not true, though. I can still taste it.
Oh, no. Something's fishy about this situation.
Aww.
Oh, but, God.
But yeah, it's, so that's Christmas Eve, and then I spend Christmas Day with my mom's side of the family. And I love, like, even just looking at the difference, because my favorite thing about Christmas is buying presents for people.
Mm-hmm.
So Christmas Eve happens, and that side of the family has more younger people, like, more cousins, and I have more siblings over there and whatever. And it's just mayhem. Like, I always assign myself Santa and handed out the presents, and then it's chaos while everyone opens them at the same time. And I sit in the middle of the room with my stack of presents next to me and just watch everyone, because I want to see everyone's reactions to the presents. Mm-hmm. And then everyone looks over and is like, did you open anything? And I was like, no, I'll go later. And I always open last, because I want to get to watch. But then on my mom's side of the family, we all take turns, and, like, everyone opens one present at a time, and we all watch, and it's like, oh, yay, that's an awesome thing, like, whatever. And I have so much more fun with that because I'm a Virgo and my dad's side of the family is just chaos.
I love the strange interactions between kinks and holidays. Like, like Christmas and birthdays are really good times, or weird times at least, to be a service bottom.
Yeah.
And then, like, Father's Day is a really weird day to have a DDLG kink. Like, super weird. And then, like, I guess if you're into some kind of, like, crucifixion, blood play, death stuff, then maybe Easter could be cool. I don't know.
It's a whole other thing.
Yeah, I'll find out when I get there. I'm doing one of my favorite holiday traditions tonight. I'm so excited. I'm going to be so hungover tomorrow. I'm doing this drinking game with my little brother that he devised. We watch the movie Elf, and we take a shot every time someone says the word elf.
Oh, that's not a drinking game. That's just drinking.
Shit's gonna get wild. And then also we really like to watch the movie It's a Wonderful Life on Christmas Eve. We do it every year. And it's so funny because, like, my brother does this really excellent Jimmy Stewart impression. And I always try to get him to say, like, modern day shit as Jimmy Stewart because it's the funniest thing in the world to me. And I think last year I was trying to get him to do Hotline Bling as Jimmy Stewart. Which I will, I'm going to try to break you off a little piece of that. I do not do impressions, but it was sort of like, you used to call me on my cell phone late night when you need my love. That was a little bit actually kind of walk-in, but yeah, I don't do impressions. But it's one of the highlights always of my year is that's, my brother doing George Bailey in weird situations.
That's excellent. One of the traditions I kind of came up with on my own, like, you always bake around Christmas, right? But, like,
I don't.
Okay. Well, it's kind of, like, it's kind of a known thing. It's not unique, but I do this really, like, serious baking day where I bake 8 to 10 different types of cookies, and I have, like, a big spreadsheet leading up, like, all month. This month, I'm trying all different cookies to find out which ones are my favorites to put on this platter that I bring to all of my family. Everyone gets their own tray, and I bring it to work. And I used to, when I worked in a different store out on Long Island, I knew people in a whole bunch of different stores, so I would actually go from one store to the other in my company and just drop off cookies for all of the stores and everything. And I just go way overboard on cookies, and I'm really excited. That's going to be Saturday night into the morning of Christmas Eve this year. I'm baking, and today and tomorrow are my last days off pre-Christmas, so I'm gonna actually, like, finalize my plans and try a couple of different recipes before I add them in. Because I get really nerdy, I, like, pick out, okay, but I need cookies of, like, different colors and shapes to make the tray look different, and I want to touch on all of the major tastes and things, so I'm really, really excited for my trays this year. I have some really good ones on there.
To, like, steer things back a little bit towards sex, I want to
A sex podcast? What?
I mean, I guess so, yeah.
It's Christmas now. It's Christmas podcast.
We have a mutual friend who likes to do this thing where on people's birthdays, she likes to text them and offer them a blowjob. I mean, like, assuming they already have a pre-existing sexual connection. And for their birthday, she likes to specifically find out how they would like her to dress and how they'd like her to do her makeup and her hair and, like, any particular, you know, persona or blowjob tricks or whatever that they want her to use, and then she will, like, give them their, like, perfect birthday blowjob. And I think that that's a lovely thing to offer someone on any holiday when you want to give them a really nice present. And also, like, for me as, like, a servicey little sub, I'm like, oh god, like, the thought of someone telling me specifically all the things they would want me to do for their perfect BJ, I'm like, oh, that's so satisfying. Fuck.
Yeah. Yeah, I love getting that, like, concrete direction.
Oh my, like, god. Even
part of my dynamic with my partner is that I ask permission before I jerk off all the time. Mm-hmm. And every once in a while, like, one of my favorite things he'll do is he'll be like, yeah, sure, but you have to, like, XYZ, and just give me, like, some sort of direction. And still, like, he'll be like, you have to do this, I'm going to bed, good night. Like, still not even be, like, involved, but just enough that he's like, yeah, you can, but only if you do it in exactly this way. Great, have a good one. And it's just, it's so satisfying to get, like, that kind of concrete direction.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good.
Yes, yes. I've been doing a lot of, like, long-distance-y sexting recently. I'm joining your ranks.
Welcome to my life.
Oh, it's the worst and the best and so the worst.
It is the entirety of my sex life for, like, most of my adult life.
I know, I know. I'm not used to it. I probably need to take a crash course from you. But so I was thinking about how it is in some ways a gift to be instructed to jerk off at times like these around the holidays when it is, like, stressful, because, like, we've talked before about, like, I think some people respond differently. Like, some people, when they're stressed out, they want to jerk off a lot because it really helps them, or, like, they get really turned on. Like, I find, like, travel stress in particular makes me really turned on. But, like, just general stress, sometimes I, like, completely forget to jerk off, or I want to, but I feel like I can't because I can't take the time. Like, so yeah, it's nice when someone actually gives me that command. But the thing is that there's such a delicate balance there, right? Because I've definitely had partners who, like, them bossing me into jerking off, I'm like, I'm not gonna fucking do that. I'm busy. Fuck you. But if the dynamic is right, someone giving me that command is like, well, now I'm in the mood to jerk off and I have to, so I'm gonna, like, set aside everything else that I have to do right now and I'm gonna do that, which is probably not a great decision from a responsible career person perspective, but it happens sometimes.
Yeah.
So one of the things that makes holidays stressful for a lot of folks like us who are queer, or, like, you're trans, or, like, we're both poly, is, like, having to deal with family who, like, maybe doesn't understand all that shit. What are some things that family or, like, allies do that they think are helpful but that totally are not? There's so many of these things.
One of the things that has been coming up a lot recently that I've noticed, especially since I'm more out with, like, being trans and trans masculine and everything, is people really aggressively affirming my gender in a way that they, like, totally normally wouldn't.
Hey, like, dude, what's up, bro?
Yeah, like, hey, bro, dude, bro, how's it going, man? How you doing, man? Or, like, I've literally, like, had people be like, well, you're all man to me, and I'm like, what do you, don't, that's uncomfortable. and this was, this is not someone I'm fucking, this is, like, coworker. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, I guess. But yeah, it's just, like, if you wouldn't say that many masculine words to a cis dude, or, like, don't, you don't have to go overboard for me. Like, don't, or just, like, trying really hard to be accommodating. Like, that's something I'm struggling with a lot with my family, is that, like, my mother especially walks on eggshells around me now, and will come straight out and tell me, like, I'm afraid to say anything to you because I'm afraid it'll upset you or I'll say something wrong and I don't really understand any of this, so I'm gonna mess it up. And it, like...
Just, like, do the work internally. Like, don't, like, put your own, like, being upset and confused on someone else, because that just makes them upset and confused, and they probably already are. Like, that's so unnecessary.
And, like, not for anything. I can feel when you're uncomfortable around me. Like, I can tell. And, like, I can tell when you're not talking to me how you've talked to me for 26 fucking years, because you're my family. Like... I can tell these things, and it's really uncomfortable, and it's, like, it's really not great, and it's one of the hardest parts about going home, because it feels really, really othering, right? It feels a lot like, I don't know, like, they don't know how to act around you, because you're completely divorced from anything they've ever known, and it's like, well, you've known me for 26 years. Like, I'm not suddenly a stranger now. So that's probably one of the hardest parts that I've had about going home. And then just, like, the stupid comments and all of that shit.
Yeah, I'm, like, I'm very fortunate that I, like, my parents know I'm queer, and it doesn't come up super often because I usually date men, but like the thing that's like troubling me lately is the poly stuff, because like they're cool with it, but I feel like they fundamentally do not get it. Like my mom, every time I'm dating more than one person at a time, my mom always wants to know which one of them I like the best, and I think what she's really trying to drill down to there is like, which one of these people are you the most serious about, which one are you going to stay with the longest, which one is the one who I have to be aware of and care about as the parent. And it's like a little bit frustrating to me, because I feel like the question that I want to pose to her in response is like, well, which one of your kids do you love more? You know, like, it's like the whole notion of poly is that love is not finite or doesn't need to be. And so it's frustrating to explain that to her. And then also, like, my grandfather, every time I see my grandfather, he asks me if I have a boyfriend yet. And he used to just leave it at that, but now he started adding this other piece onto it, which is he's like, I want to see you get married before I die. And my grandfather's 91. And, like, that's a whole lot of yikes.
Yeah, okay. That one's fun.
That's a hard question to answer, because I have sort of a lot of people in my life right now who I'm feeling amorous about and have a lot of hard eyes feelings for and have a lot of sex with. But it's, like, none of them are quite my boyfriend. So when he asked me that, like, usually I either say no or yes. Like, mostly it's been no most of the times he's asked me that. And lately when he asks me that, I'm like, sort of? and then whenever I used to say no, he would always ask me why, which is a really difficult question to answer and honestly really brings up a lot of shit for me, because I start to be like, I don't know why. Is it because I'm not lovable? Do I not deserve it? Like, I get really emotional, and then I have to sort of package that into a palatable answer for my grandfather, which usually is, I'm very busy. I don't have time for a boyfriend, which is sort of 8% of the answer of that question.
Try boys have cooties next time. See how that one goes. That's yeah, good. I never really... Luckily, my family doesn't ask that super often, but, like, I occasionally get in this weird spot where anytime, like, I mention something about my partner, like, it feels... If I say partner, I have to unpack the whole long distance and poly thing, which seems like a lot. 'Cause, like, if I say long distance, I get the, like... oh, that can't possibly, like, be a real relationship thing that older people do. And then also you get the, oh, that must be really hard. And, like, the answer is, well, sometimes, but, like, we're poly, so it's fine. Which is a whole other can of worms. And the problem is, I would, I can't start unpacking it because they would say, you know, that must be hard. And I would just say that and then go, oh, now we're talking about that now.
I went to a family party a few months ago. It was like about a month after like one of the worst, hardest breakups of my life. And a cousin of mine has gotten engaged recently, and he was talking about how he proposed. And then, like, my other cousins were telling the story of how they proposed. And, like, everybody was telling all these marriage and engagement stories. And I started to have an active, like, panic attack at the dinner table because I was having all these thoughts about, like, these people all have their person and I don't have my person. And what if I never find my person? And I, like, went into the bathroom and started crying and texting you. And, wow, I've cried every day for the past week, and I need to not do it on the podcast. But yeah, it's a lot. Like, going home to family brings up a lot of shit.
Yeah.
So how do you like to self-care? Like, say you're at a big family holiday event and you start to feel overwhelmed or upset. What do you do in that moment to try to dissipate those feelings?
I like to know, kind of like how you texted me, I like to make sure before I go into a situation, like, okay, the people I care about, what are their plans today? How accessible are they going to be?
Mm-hmm.
What resources do I have? Sometimes that's just blasting it out onto Twitter, which is what I did last time and will probably do this time, is I make like a hashtag or a thread or whatever for the event. Mm-hmm. And just, it actually kind of divorces me a little bit from the situation where it's like, this is not my family being mm-hmm. horrible to me and people like me. I am just a reporter seeing this situation, seeing this like stereotypical family and reporting back on the absurdity that happens.
Live tweeting from the field.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just kind of enough to separate me and take me out of the experience enough that I can see the humor in it and, like, the absurdity and try and not take it all to heart and try and not take it all in, because mm-hmm. it's a lot to, like, hold sometimes. Mm-hmm. And, like, my grandfather, who is just, so a lot of my family likes to think they're liberal. Which, I was talking to my brother a lot about this, about where the difference, like, I don't know if I would rather the part of my family that just thinks they're liberal and is awful and not, and just doesn't examine any of it, versus, like, my grandfather, who is just a bigot, but, like, it's right what's labeled on the can, like, you know what you're getting.
It's the evil you can see.
Exactly. He just fully carries these views and will say them to you. Mm-hmm. Like, whereas other people in my family are like, no, I'm not racist. That's terrible. Says racist joke 2 seconds later. Like,
Right. I totally see this in my family too. And it's astonishing because, like, my dad and, like, several other men in my family, if you ask them if they were a feminist, if they were progressive, liberal, they would tell you absolutely yes, I totally believe in gender equality, I'm so on board. And then you notice, like, it's always the women cleaning up shit after the meal, and it's always the men kind of sitting there, you know, and having their conversations and having their drinks. And it's just little things like that where it's like, you are not practicing what you preach, and you don't even realize it. Like, you won't even admit to it. It's absurd to me.
Yeah, I may not be out to my family, but I do occasionally take that male privilege and be like, actually, I'm a boy, so y'all gonna do dishes.
But you're a service sub and a Virgo, so there's a tug of war going on there.
I also have an Italian family. There is not enough Virgo in the world to go near those dishes. There are so many of us, and so much sauce.
Vicious, malicious dishes, am I right?
So, we all have so many dishes, like, not even amongst us, individually. I could have, like, 4 dishes.
Doing those dishes would be ambitious. I'm a freestyle rapper over here.
Nope.
It's delicious.
No!
Okay, self-care. if you are lucky enough to have a space that you can go that is a private space within the function, God, that's fucking fantastic. Last year on Christmas Day, I snuck away up to my bedroom in my parents' house, smoked a little bit of weed. The weed turned me on, which happens, and I jerked off. And then two more times throughout the day, I did that again, just renewing the cycle. And it was,
you
it
were
was
like,
actually
wait, this is a great idea.
Yeah, because it was such a nice, lovely introvert break. And something I'm learning over the past few years is, like, I used to try to push myself to just, like, stick it out and stay in the interaction because I felt like my family's here. I don't get to see them all that often. I need to focus on them. I need to be here. But what I would find is, like, by the end of the day, I was just an asshole, or I was, like, checked out. Like, I could not, you know, cope with socializing anymore. It was too much. So I find if I step away, even for, like, 5-10 minutes, go, you know, do some tweets or sex with somebody or jerk off or, like, just stare into space while sitting on the edge of your bed, you know, do what you gotta do. I journal sometimes in those moments. Then when I come back, I feel so much more recharged and, like, benevolent. Like, I want to be in a good space to talk to my family. Like, even though sometimes I have issues with them, there are so many things about them that I absolutely love, and I want to be able to engage with them properly. And I'm working on getting to know my own patterns and habits so I can figure out how to do that in a way that feels good for all of us, you know?
Yeah. One of the other things, going back to being a Virgo, one of the other things I like to do to self-care is to make sure that I've prepped for the event in a good way. Mm-hmm. And doing little things throughout the day that is still a celebration for me. So, like, dressing up in a way that feels really good and, like, really good in my gender and I feel like I look cute or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Sneaking off, like you said, and, like, having little moments alone. Anything like that. Planning. Getting myself a good dessert to have when I get home.
Mm-hmm.
Doing little things like that to make sure that the day is still a celebration for me, because I enjoy celebrating things. I like having fun and, like, just having an excuse to be happy. So, and just knowing I have that stuff waiting at home can be nice. I also like to plan some conversations in advance that I know I can have, some things that I can bring up that are safe and some good conversation starters.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I have, like, one or two family members that I know I can, like, latch onto and that I'm really close with or whatever,
I'll
partner with them and just be like, hey, these are the things that I don't want to come up at all. And they will, like, run interference for me.
Mm-hmm.
And with the two of you both trying to dodge the conversation or bringing up other things, or, like, if someone, like, I've had times when I didn't want to talk about working in sex toy retail.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, a family member would be like, so, what are you doing for work? And I would be like, and my little brother would be like, I just got a job. And I'm like, thanks. Great. And would just, like, slide into the conversation and I would, like, fade into the backdrop.
My brother's my holiday party buddy as well. And it's nice because, like, sometimes older folks say stuff that you need to have someone to react to that stuff with. And,
yes.
Like, usually I would text you. But, like, also, it's great if I have my brother there and we can kind of just exchange a horrified, knowing glance and then move on with the conversation. Because, like, maybe you don't want to get into a whole deconstruction of why that thing your uncle just said was super problematic. But you want to know that someone is there who also gets why it was problematic. And maybe you can debrief about it afterward. Or maybe you just need to exchange that glance and you're fine.
Yeah, because honestly, like, sometimes it's also, you feel like you can't even explain the thing that you just saw to anyone via text clearly enough.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need someone else to just see it and mm-hmm. just, like, they said that thing just mm-hmm. like that, just literally just that interaction just happened.
They cannot have said that thing.
Yeah, like, so, sometimes you need just clarification that it really is happening exactly as absurdly as you think it is.
Oh, dear God. Fuck That and Fuck Yeah is our weekly segment where we tell you something we hate and something we love. What is your Fuck That this week?
My Fuck That is a little petty, but it's the 6,000 hot takes about Baby It's Cold Outside that we get.
Oh my god, every so time this year. Shit.
Like, fuck. Every year you get the people that are like, has anyone noticed this song is like kind of rapey? And then you get the 6 million other people that are like, well, actually, historically, this song is about women's empowerment. And I'm just over here like, it is both of those things.
Yes.
Like, historically, it meant one thing. In today's context, it sounds super problematic. Most people aren't examining that and should, and most people don't know the history. All of these things are true. None of them have changed since 2013 when I first started seeing these articles.
And, like, the thing is, this is true about so much old media, like, literally almost all of it from before a certain time, right? Like, it's problematic because that was the cultural expectation at that time. And that's not a justification or an excuse at all. I'm not trying to excuse these things. It just means that we need to be more critical when we look at those old media pieces. And also, we need to understand the context. And personally, my take on Baby It's Cold Outside is I just like to imagine that it's a like a sort of con, non-con, kinky scene, and then everything's cool. I'm good.
Yeah.
Because that's hot as fuck. I'm super into that.
Yeah. I don't know. At the end of the day, it's just a kind of boring Christmas song. Like, it's not even that good of a song. I don't... There are better options. I don't know. I'm tired of talking about it. I just am.
Yeah. More like Baby It's Old Outside, am I right?
What about you, Kate? What's your fuck that?
My fuck that is the sort of desexualization that happens to me and probably many folks around the holidays, because you're spending so much time with your family and it's a stressful time and it's a time that's like, there's so much focus on like wholesome values and like making cookies and sitting around the fire and not a lot of thinking about orgasms and dating and making out with people. I mean, maybe, you know, you do you, but in my experience, this is a time when I'm not really thinking about that stuff because I feel like I don't really have the space or the time to, and it's kind of frustrating because it just ends up in me getting more stressed out than I need to be and feeling kind of disconnected from who I am and what's important to me. And so it might seem weird that like a self-care measure might be for me to sneak away from my family and get in a few sexts with someone I'm really into, but it actually does sort of like ground me and reconnect me with my body and remind me of some things that are important to me at other times of the year. And that can be really helpful because I don't want to be wholesome for weeks at a time. That doesn't feel good to me, you know?
Yeah.
What's your fuck yeah?
My fuck yeah is getting to be all servicey during the holidays. Mm-hmm. Like all of the opportunities, because you get to like buy people presents and make them cookies and like know just the right thing about them to do the nice things. That's what I love about buying presents for people, is like being able to demonstrate a little bit how much you know about them and having that opportunity to make them really happy and everything. Mm-hmm. It's so much fun, and it gives me all, like, the good servicey feelings.
Aw, cute.
Yeah.
The gift that keeps on giving.
What's your fuck yeah?
My fuck yeah is not holiday related. I just needed to talk about it. It's about switchiness. I'm kind of exploring a little bit of my Dommy side recently because I've started seeing someone who really brings out that side of me. It's not even, I don't even feel like I really have to put on like a Dommy persona. Like it's just sort of a thing that naturally came out of our dynamic and feels really natural and good. And at the same time, I'm also getting into this other dynamic right now where I'm very, very subby. And I feel, again, like very naturally and without putting a lot of thought into it, really submissive to this other person. And I just find it like fascinating and wonderful how sometimes those things just arise completely organically and you don't have to put any thought or energy into. Like, you negotiate a little bit, but you don't have to be like, well, I'll be the submissive one, you know, because it just, like, comes naturally out of your personalities and how they fit together. And I actually am feeling, like, in many ways really off balance right now because of, like, new relationship energy stuff. But in terms of kink stuff, it's feeling very balancing to have both of those kind of sides of my kinks explored at a time, and that's never really happened to me before, and it's really interesting. I feel like a whole person. Wow.
Wow.
Better living through kink. thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Dildorks, folks. We have one more episode left in the year for you, which is going to be our year-end wrap-up. And we wanted to say, you know, happy holidays and thanks for sticking with us this year. And I hope that everything goes smoothly for you and that, you know, family and holiday stuff isn't that difficult for you. I know this is a hard time and we get it and we're there for you. And best of luck. You'll be strong. I have been Kate Sloan. You can find my sex blog at girlyjuice.net and the rest of my writing at katewritesaboutsex.com. You can also follow me on Twitter and Instagram at girly_juice. Where is your stuff?
I'm Bex. You can find all my writing at BexTalkSex, and I'm on Twitter and Instagram at BexTalkSex. If you need to also be reporters in your family homes these holidays and just get some of the absurdity out into the world, tweet it all at me. I'm at BexTalkSex. I'll spend my holidays retweeting and discussing all of the madness that happens in our houses.
Should be a good time.
Yeah. Together we're the Dildorks. We're at the Dildorks on Twitter and Instagram and at thedildorks.com. You can also find us by searching the Dildorks in your favorite podcast app. While you're there, rate and review us. It makes us easier to find for everyone else and it makes us smile.
I am so excited to announce to y'all this week that we are going to be part of the Playground Conference in Toronto, which is coming up in February 2018. You can find all the info about that at playgroundconf, that's CONF.com. And we will be doing a live recording of the Dildorks there. We're going to be talking about sex and traveling. So, like, taking sex toys through TSA and, like, making time for sex when you're traveling. And, like, I guess, like, Tindering in foreign cities, which is a whole weird adventure. And,
that time I had to really chase my 11 around the airport.
Yeah, come and hear that story. It's going to be a really fantastic conference, and it hasn't been put on since November 2015, and was actually the event where me and Bex became really close friends.
Yes.
So it's a really important event to us personally. It's put on by Samantha Fraser, who's an amazing local sex-positive community leader here in Toronto, and there's going to be so much other cool stuff, lots of cool speakers there who you might have heard of, like Andrew Gerza from the Disability After Dark podcast. The Swing Set podcast folks are going to be there. Dirty Lola, who's been on the show before. Kevin Patterson from Poly Role Models is doing the keynote. There's so many amazing people. I would really love to see you there and come to our session. That's the Playground Conference. Thank you, as always, to Protodome for the use of our theme song, I Want You in My Bedroom. You can find all of his music at protodome.bandcamp.com. And thank you to Amy Gardner at starboots_ on Twitter, who did our logo for us. And thank you to you. Until next time, folks, get out there and live your sexy, dorky life.
Bye. Because you know how we ramble.
Oh, certainly. There'll be bloops. There will be bloops. That's my favorite movie.
I'm going to mail you your Christmas present soon. I'm waiting for one more thing to come in the mail, but I have most of it. I'm really excited.
Yay.
Because I also devised, like, this really cute way I'm going to wrap it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really excited because I'm a Virgo.
You want me to tweet pictures of it?
Yeah, naturally. What kind of friend am I if I don't get you a present that's tweetable?
Hashtag content.
Come on, exactly. This year for Christmas, I got you these presents and also some content. Because they're on brand.
He's very, very good. I'm surprised by how good he is for a 26-year-old boy.
Yeah. I just dropped a glass vial of testosterone and almost had a heart attack.
I'm sorry. Is it okay?
Yes, it survived. It landed in a pile of cat hair. Because I'm a disgusting human being living in squalor. But it's fine.
It's fine. Hey, if your dom's into medical play, does he use a Sir Inge?
No.
No. Wow, I don't know why that one fucked me up so much. I thought that was really fucking funny.
I've told you I use an old pasta sauce container for my, used needles, right?
Such an Italian boy.
Yeah. I got new weed and it's really pretty.
In what way?
Like,
let's see if you can see. Like, can you see that?
Just looks like weed.
Mm. The buds are, like, really fleshed out and have, like, individual leaves and stuff in a way that, like, sometimes they don't. No, you know what I mean? Like,
I know. You're so stonery right now. You're just like, look at this fucking beautiful plant.
It's
nature.
So, nature. It's beautiful.
I'm sorry. I need to show you some pictures of him real quick.
Okay.
This is important. I need you to understand what this person looks like.
I mean, I've seen what he looks like.
No, you don't understand.
Okay.
You do not understand. Look at this fucker.
I know, I've seen.
No, I need to show you more.
Okay.
Look, he was chewing on a lemon twist.
Okay.
Does the lemon twist make him hotter?
A little bit.
Okay.
Look at this dumbly smile.
I see.
Oh, I'm useless today.
I love messaging me. I'm just kind of like, I don't know, I feel like I'm like, You're like showing me him, and I'm talking like a child who's very excited about their new TV show, and I'm like, yes, okay. Well, tell me more about the main characters.
I know.
Yes,
well, what are they like? This is why I felt weird about telling you, though. Because
no, it's
I feel
okay.
Like you just like.
You can totally tell me. I'm just.
I know my NRE is annoying.
I am excited for you and happy for you, and it is not a thing I can empathize with because it is not a thing I experience in the same way as you.
Okay, well,
I'm sorry.
I was about to be like, I'm very happy, but I don't know what this is. I'm okay. Feeling a lot of feelings.
Okay.
I'm feeling something. I don't know.
My go-to that I've experienced a lot lately is people, like, overly aggressively. Are you okay? Packing a one-hitter, casually pegging a sock at my cat, and then resuming.
Oh my god, that was so funny. Fuck, okay, answer the question. Fuck, shit, damn it. Yeah, and like, the thing with the poly thing is like, I don't know how to answer that question. Because right now I have sort of a few people who are not quite my boyfriend, but who I'm like, having a lot of love feelings. No, I don't want to say that.
Don't
I'm going to say that again.
Yeah. Yeah. Give it another take.
Yeah.
Shit. Amorous is the word you were shooting for.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Glad I caught that before editing. Shit.
Oh, I caught it. Don't worry. I was going to suggest that you try that sentence again.
Woof. All right. Take two.
I am quite high.
Okay.
Which I did not expect.
We can talk about a fun sex masturbation thing and then close out.
Okay. I'm sorry. I took one hit.
Mm-hmm.
I am a mess.
Mm-hmm.
I
love you anyway. I will always love you.
This is new weed, so I should have known. Anyway.
I will love you come hell or high podcasting.
So, like, you know how you buffer a video before you start it when you know you have a slow internet connection? I'm buffering this sentence before I start it.
It's gonna be all or buffing.
Well, at least we have some bloops.
Why am I so punny today? I don't know what's gotten into me.
It's because of NRE.
It's also because I'm tired and feel when like you're I'm not alive.
Yeah, but when you're in NRE on your more pun-based relationships, the puns go up.
Which of my relationships are not pun-based, I ask you that? Answer, not even pun.
No, a few of them. And it's more that some of them are more heavily pun-based than others.
Yes, it's true. You're there right are, on the punny.
There are two I can think of right off the top of my head.
Wait, tell me.
It's not even necessarily that he's particularly punny, it's that he's enamored with your puns.
Oh, that's cute.
Like, his reactions are more intense to your puns than some of your others.
Oh, I wasn't even looking at him during that podcast all that much. That's cute. Oh god, I'm so gross. End it now.
I need a fuck yeah. I might just talk about Christmas cookies again.
I thought so. I was gonna say it, but I wanted you to get there on your own.
I was trying to maybe come up with a sex thing.
Right. Well, this isn't the cookie dorks, and yet it is a little bit.
I've talked about baking too many times.
It's okay. You've also talked about getting baked too many times.
No.
Mm.